We are in the middle, or just starting our series on Proverbs, but before we jump into that, I would just like to say a big old welcome back, or, you know, it's good to be back. That's what it is, because I was gone for 2 weeks in Israel, and then a week of recovery after getting slapped upside the head with some wicked medicine, and I was down and out for about a week, and I cannot tell, I don't want to get all, you know, really sappy up here and everything, but I absolutely missed all of you. This is one of the things that I've been missing for so many weeks, and it's so good to be back, and I just thank God for each and every one of you, friends and everything. Just so good to be back here. Speaking of friends, I spotted one that is, she is back. It was about a year ago now that Pastor Craig and Trish Cunningham announced that they were leaving, and Trish Cunningham is right over here. She's back in town doing an intensive with National Institute of Marriage, and so I think, can we just express our appreciation to Trish and just so appreciate it? You had a lot of, you know, time on the video tonight, too, with MySpace, so it's great to have you back. The other thing I would like to make you aware of, last week, we had our missions focus here in New Community, and I would just like to bring up one thing. There was a clarification that I'd like to make. We handed out these brochures that are talking about the five major trips. This is good for any of you at any level at the church to know and to spread this information. There was something that was brought to my attention. In the brochure, there are dates that are attached to each one of these trips. And some people were asking me, hey, Mike, I don't really think I'm going to be able to take a 12 to 14 day missions trip. Is there anything else that you guys are offering of, you know, smaller days? I got clarification today. I called Ken Patrick in Argentina today and got clarification on this. This is a window of time that we are able to go. Each trip we can tailor make for our own purposes. So, for example, there's an Argentina trip that we would like to take. And that trip is going to be around 7 days. It's just going to be a weekend from weekend, not 10 days, not 12. We'll take a window of time within that trip and take that. So I hope that helps some people out that were planning on doing a missions trip this year. I encourage you to do that. I wanted to make you aware of that if you have that. And if someone else, if you hear someone else with that information or misinformation, please feel free to give them that. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about the book of Proverbs, and before we jump into that, I'd like to review, give you a little bit of, do what we call some global learning. We're going to take a look at what we're going to be teaching for this whole series in Proverbs, and if you take a look behind me, you'll see the little tree that we have, and this tree is going to sort of help us and sort of give us a map for the rest of this series that we're going to be in. And the first topic we're talking about tonight is wisdom, and then as a part of the trunk of the tree of wisdom, there are all these different things. And so on one branch, you have something like a fool or the sluggard. And we're going to be talking about those throughout the, you can go ahead and put them all up there. We'll be talking about these different subjects as Proverbs speaks to them in the upcoming weeks. And of course, the foundation of all this is the fear of the Lord, or the fear of the Lord. And that's what Joel Triska talked about a few weeks ago. And tonight, we're going to be launching into Wisdom's Call. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters in Proverbs. And it's the first 10 chapters of Proverbs is are very, very interesting. I really like them. And but Proverbs chapter 8 really has a special message for us tonight. And I feel great about this message that's being communicated tonight through this. It's just an amazing thing. And we're going to take a look at this. The reason why we're starting this series in the book of Proverbs is because we want to examine what this collection of wise sayings has to teach us about life. In the ancient Near East, there were generally three groups of people who were the religious people of that day, and this would be the prophets and the priest, and then the wise sages. And, you know, a prophet, generally speaking, I always try to say a prophet represents God to the people, and this was sort of his job description. And a priest would, just to simplify things, a priest would sometimes represent the people to God. And then these wise sages would come along and they would have these wise sayings and they would teach and things like that. And that's what this book of Proverbs, it's sort of a collection of those wise sayings. And what we want to zoom in tonight is Proverbs chapter 8, which will help us launch into the rest of our topics that we're going to be talking about. Let me just say that moral standards, as good and needed as they are, actually do not address most situations that you and I face. You don't have to be a Christian or even a human being for very long to realize that life can get a bit complex. I mean, let's just have mass confessional time for a second. Raise your hand if you've ever been in a little bit of a quandary in your life, not knowing what to do. Everyone ever been there? Okay, great. I'm glad that I'm in a room of friends tonight. You know, your character is your moral standards, your spiritual makeup, and you have the, you know, you can have right moral standards. You can know all of the right things to do. You can have all of the knowledge. You can, you know, because knowledge will help you buy the maybe the right car. It's sort of but it's not identical. Wisdom is not identical to knowledge and what we're going to be talking about, or even morality. What we need today is wisdom. We will make an absolute muck of our life if we do not have wisdom. And Proverbs chapter 8 is a great place for us to zoom in on to talk about wisdom. We're going to talk about four things tonight. We're going to talk about the importance of wisdom, the definition of wisdom, the problem of wisdom, and then the clue to the solution. And first of all, the importance of wisdom. I'd like you to look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. The verses will be on the screen if you didn't bring your Bibles. I encourage you to bring it throughout our series. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom is infinitely more important than knowledge. And you know this. Every single one of us in this room have an idea about this. And there are many people who, they have talent. They have charisma. They have, they've got the intellect. They have beauty. But they lack wisdom, and they haven't done well with their life by even their own admission. I know people like this. I know people who are incredibly gifted, but yet somehow can never seem to get traction in life. And yet I've watched others who have seemingly had less talent and less charisma seem to do well because for whatever reason, at the right time or whatever, and they seem to make wise decisions. And this this sort of perplexes me at moments because I feel like at times I've been at all spectrums of that decision-making process. I feel like at times I've made great decisions in my life, and then probably more than 50%, sometimes I feel like I question some of the decisions that I've made. And so we understand that there's an importance of wisdom. The key point to remember is that wisdom, though, is not the same as moral goodness. It's related to it, but not identical to it. By the way, all the business schools, all the business ethics books that are out there, the leadership books and everything will tell you that it is stupid to be unethical in the long run. You should not do it because it will eventually catch up with you. Don't take shortcuts or cheat the company because it will eventually come back and bite you. So obviously, wisdom is not less than being ethical, but it's just far more, okay? For example, if you want to help a poor family get out of poverty, you can do it completely ethically and still ruin their lives because for whatever reason, you may not be conversant with the complex issues of poverty and what brings about that situation. I went to the Philippines one time on a medical missions trip. I went with one other person from my church in Toledo, Ohio, and it was a dental trip, and I was affected by this trip in ways that had never been affected by traveling to another country. I've been to several countries and seen third world in poverty and intense poverty, but never to the point like this where I was so tangibly involved in trying to make things better for little kids and these Filipino kids. And these street kids literally lived on the streets 24/7, year-round. They were the victims of drug infestations and communities and everything else. And one of the things that was told to me when I first arrived on the ground was that this organization did a feeding, and a day of serving, they called it, every single weekend, once a week, they would feed these kids. Of course, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to, excuse the joke, to figure out that, I asked myself, well, what do they do for the rest of the days? So I asked the leader in charge. I became a little perturbed. I said, why don't you feed them more? Because literally hundreds upon hundreds of kids would line up in order to get one bowl of rice and some water, and they would just live on the streets for it. And I didn't understand. I kept thinking, you have the resources. You have the food. I see the stockpiles of food. Get out there and feed them. And he said something to me that really affected me. He said, if we fed them every day, they'd never leave the street. And it was just a moment of understanding for me, because I'm not a missionary. I didn't grow up on the mission field or haven't been a part of that a whole lot. But now, as I've grown and done different things in ministry, I realize that things can be a bit more complex than just what you see on the surface. And beginning to understand that while I was in the Philippines was a kind of a launching port for me to start understanding different complexities that exist in those things. And for that moment, I was giving a piece of what I call wisdom. Some decisions we face require the right knowledge. I mean, you can buy the right car with the right knowledge. Some require high principles and standards. But do you ever feel that the majority of the decisions we face, the rules and facts do not answer the question? I mean, think about it. What rules and facts answer the question, who should I marry? Should I break up with this person? Should I go out with this person? Should I change jobs? Should I confront this person, or should I just let the situation mellow? Should I take the risk? Should I change jobs? Should I take that risk or not? What do I do now? And wisdom also speaks to timing as well. You know, a good opportunity at the wrong time can hurt you. A wrong decision could significantly derail you, and yet the rules of knowledge and morality do not answer those questions. So we need wisdom. Knowledge isn't enough. Morality isn't enough. We need wisdom. That's the importance of wisdom. But we also need to define what wisdom is if we're going to have any way of getting around what in the world is this wisdom thing. You know, I've heard about wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so what's the next step? Well, first of all, let's define what wisdom is. I'd like for you to, if we move on in the passage, verses 12 through 16, it says this: I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride, wisdom speaking, of course, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine, wisdom says. I have understanding and power. By me kings reign, and rulers make laws that are just. By me princes govern, and all nobles who rule on earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. Very interesting what we see here about the definition of wisdom. When you see in the book of Proverbs, what we see time and time again is this use of synonyms. It's very important for us to get a hold and a hand around what these synonyms, why they continually come up, and maybe some definitions of those words. Many of the Hebrew words are given to give us perspective about wisdom, kind of show us different facets of the prism, if you would. Let me give you just three. First of all, wisdom, we just read, dwells with prudence, which is maybe not the best English translation of the word. But anyway, this word means to notice little distinctions, to notice the little things that happen in a room. For example, when Jack Bauer walks into a room, you and I may only see a gun and a little pool of blood and something else. But Jack Bauer, no, he sees much more than mortal men. He sees, this is a 24 joke, so if you don't know Jack Bauer, he's a fictional character. Anyway, Sherlock Holmes, whatever. They see clues. I walk into a room, I see a cupcake on the kitchen floor turned upside down. I see a little girl with a bleeding lip, And then I see a sister pointing at her saying she did it. When I walk into the room, all I see is a chance for me to exercise discipline. I see a chance, and of course you balance the powers, and I punished her last time, so now I'm going to punish her just to balance it all out, because that's how we do it. Just kidding. Well, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. But anyway, but no, my wife, who has this gift, walks in, and she doesn't see the need to discipline. She actually sees what just happened a mere minute ago, that Chloe tried to climb up. She got the kitchen chair, put it next to the counter. She got up, uncovered. We didn't even know she was that strong, but she uncovered the glass-covered thing that holds the beautiful cupcakes. And as she was getting the cupcakes, she slipped and bumped her lip, and she started bleeding. And now Carson is telling on her little sister. That's exactly what happened. I don't know how she sees it, and all I see something different. But she has this unique ability to watch all of the little things that happen. This little word that wisdom dwells with prudence. It's about understanding those little distinctions, those little things. Wisdom also says in verse 14 that wisdom has understanding. This word, this Hebrew word, is binah. It's one of these words that it's to understand how things really work, the kind of inner workings of how something goes on. And one commentator said about this word that this is kind of an understanding of how it's a kind of a receiving of what the Lord instructs us. It's this understanding, so it can be laced with that. And the third one, the one that I really like, wisdom makes things just. I love this in verse 15. It talks about how wisdom makes things just. You know, at the end of the day, wisdom helps us do things right. Gerard Van Rod, who was one of the famous Old Testament scholars, wrote a book called Wisdom in Israel. He defines wisdom according to Proverbs as this, listen to this, becoming competent with regard to the realities of life. Van Rod says becoming competent with regard to the realities of life. He acknowledges that there are realities in life that are complex, that moral standards and understanding all of the knowledge around a situation may not provide you the answer. There is something else. There's a need for wisdom. That's the definition of wisdom. So wisdom is becoming competent regarding the realities of how life works. It's the reason why we're doing this Proverbs series. But there is a problem with wisdom. In verse 22 through 30, I'd like to read it for you. We see this. Verse 22, chapter 8. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works. Before his deeds of old, I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. Of course, this is wisdom speaking. When there were no oceans, I was given birth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled in place. Before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the earth or its fields or any of the dust of the world. I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep. When he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea its boundaries so its waters would not overstep his command. This is sort of reminiscent of kind of Genesis chapter 1, you know, this whole creation account, isn't it? I hope that's kind of stirring up those images for you. And when he marked out the foundations of the earth, verse 30, then I was the craftsman at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. This is a very famous section of verses that we just read here in Proverbs chapter 8, where wisdom speaks. It's not only very famous, but the reason why it's famous is that this is very unique to Christians. This creation account is unique. If you search most world religions, you will find that the world generally was either created out of an accident or out of some sort of mystical power struggle. And in some of the Eastern religions and everything else, in some societies, the material world is a kind of illusion. It's not really real. The material world is some sort of stage where you're controlled by the puppet master and we're just pawns. And in other societies, you have kind of two gods that were in this struggle, and in this power struggle, there was created this space. And without going into it, I don't know a whole lot about it, but you know, I can recall from reading all that stuff that there was this space called as basically Earth, and that's where now, because of a power struggle, this whole thing was created. But this Proverbs chapter 8 is very unique to us because here we have a God who is first of all delighted. I think that's very interesting. It's not out of some power struggle or something to get back, but yet he is delighted. And here we have a God who creates not out of a power struggle or a coincidence or just wanted to create something or an accident or whatever. This is the reason why the sages of Israel, the sages says, if wisdom made the world, wisdom then can perceive the world and therefore live wisely if we can know wisdom. For example, in aerodynamics, if something obeys the rules of aerodynamics, then it flies. If it does not obey the rule of aerodynamics, then it doesn't. The sages would say then, and it's just a simple example, but the sages would basically say there are patterns in the physical universe. The sages took that one step further and said, okay, if there are patterns in the physical universe, then there are also, because of the Creator, because of this Proverbs, wisdom, this wise, this wisdom here speaking, if there are patterns in the physical universe, then there are also patterns in the relational universe. There are patterns to a relationship. There are patterns to relationships. There are patterns to living well. If it's true for the physical, then it's true for relational and morality. I mean, the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes remind us of this moral and relational patterns. And foolishness, what we're going to talk about here in a few weeks, foolishness is actually going against the pattern that God has set in creation. Very, very interesting here. So two things that we must know in order to be wise. And again, we're focusing in on the problem, and we're going to unfold that in just a second. Two things that we must know in order to be wise. I really want you to hear this tonight. First of all, number one, we have to admit that there is a pattern. There are patterns out there. And two, it's largely hidden from you. Hate to be so discouraging, but it's largely hidden from you. In Proverbs chapter 10 through 15, we call Proverbs proper starts. If you can think about all the little pithy statements that are, you know, kind of really makes up Proverbs, that really starts in chapter 10. The first part of this book really helps us understand what some scholars have gone on to talk about, how the book was really a manual for young men during the early days. They would learn this book, they would learn this sort of, you know, this collection of wise sayings, and they would, it was a part of their education, and it was, some think it was only for men. That's why sometimes wisdom is framed as a she, and it's because the men, you know, and the she thing, and that's why we're supposed to really yearn for it. So here's what some of the Proverbs say. If you work hard, you'll prosper. I mean, it kind of is short and pithy like this. If you're lazy, you'll be poor. If you will live with morals, your life will go well. If you live a wicked life, your life won't go well, more or less. If you raise a child rightly, she will love you. If you don't, well, then there will be consequences. And if you have a conservative mindset, when you read chapters 10 through 15, you're kind of like me, and it's like, yeah, you know, I told you, you got to get a job, you know, it kind of helps me, you know, have some cathartic moments, you know, at times when I see people sometimes wanting to get stuff for free and yet never wanting to work for anything. And I think to myself, look, if you're not willing to work, I mean, if you can't just take handouts, you know, you've got to be willing to do some things. And so anyway, but then you get into chapter 16 and the following, and you read things like in chapter 16, verse 9, and it says this, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In other words, sometimes the Lord reserves the right to mix things up on you a little bit. Meaning, I have friends, I have godly friends who have raised their kids in the best home that I could possibly imagine. And yet, the child somehow does not end up being a Christian. I know many, many people like this. I'm friend with some of the kids. And Some people ask, well, I thought this is what Scripture said. If I raise my child, then this happens. Well, since when did a proverb take away the free will of a person? Well, you have to understand, there are proverbs, and these are pithy, wise sayings. This is wisdom. Understanding that some things can be complex at times. You know, it's very interesting because when we start reading this, a lot of times the people on the other end, you know, if there's this one conservative mindset that says, yeah, I told everyone to get a job, and if they don't, they're going to be poor. And then on the other side, it's like, I did get a job, and I'm trying to work, and I just got laid off. Can't do anything about it. Well, absolutely, because that's life, and that's why we need wisdom, because sometimes things happen outside of our control. And so we understand that Proverbs sometimes mixes it up on this, and we're reminded of part of the wisdom literature. We see Job, and in the book of Job, we see that God is the one who gives and takes away, but we're reminded to remain faithful. Amen? This is not to say that there aren't moral absolutes, because adultery is always wrong. But we have those situations, and situations that we all face where rules do not give us the answer, and of course it necessitates wisdom. We have to acknowledge that there's a pattern, and that secondly, that we do not know it all. One of the basic understandings that we should all understand is that we are all flawed. That we need someone greater, because none of us are smart enough, none of us are gifted enough, none of us have enough resources to fill all of our needs. So that leads us to the final thing, and that is the solution, the clue to the solution. See, Proverbs was originally used, like I said before, as a manual to teach young men, and they were taught to desire wisdom. They were taught to long after it. This is probably the reason, again, why wisdom's framed as a she sometimes. But can you imagine, several hundred years later, when a wise person comes along named Jesus, and he says in Matthew chapter 11, he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus personifies wisdom. I'm reminded that as the early Jews pursued wisdom, longed after wisdom, it's also the way that we should pursue the one who is greater than Solomon and the one who gives the gift of wisdom. The one who gives wisdom is still the one who should be relentlessly pursued. Very interesting, just a sidebar, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we begin a discourse Paul gives us on spiritual gifts. The first spiritual gift that he lists is the gift of wisdom. And you see, when the Spirit infuses us with His power and with His love, and we're connected with Him, there come moments where we are in desperate need of wisdom outside of our own knowledge and understanding. And yet, to me, this is the moments where I can look back in my life where Jesus became so real to me, where I needed an answer, and it seemed like, God, I had no idea what to do, and yet Jesus spoke very clear what needs to happen. And you see, Jesus has a way of personifying wisdom. And of course, we can't talk about Proverbs chapter 8 and this creation account in Proverbs and not, of course, talk about John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the one who is greater than Solomon, the wisdom of God, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, through Him all things were made. Very, very similar language to Proverbs chapter 8. Without Him nothing was made, and has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. In the same way as in Proverbs chapter 8, Jesus is here involved intricately in creation. And yet, in John chapter 1, we know that now He becomes very applicable to us because Jesus became flesh. And yet He's one who knows the temptations with which we deal with on an ongoing basis. And then thirdly, He's available to all of us. I love how Donald Stamps sums up wisdom in Proverbs in one of his writings. He says, "The wisdom of Proverbs finds its ultimate expression in Jesus Christ, someone, quote, greater than Solomon, who has, quote, become for us wisdom, and in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is Christ in whom all of those things rest." Jesus is wisdom personified. I'm reminded that wisdom is not just something that you and I can conjure up by putting ourselves in some sort of prayer seance and, you know, "Lord, I need to get some wisdom here." But that's it. The devotion and the consecration of our hearts is the first step to attaining that wisdom. You can't just spin yourself up into some emotional fury and expect God just to just, you know, whatever is going to happen. No, I'm reminded that wisdom is at its core a revelation of God. So God, I need to know. I want to know you. And I believe that somehow, and I totally don't understand this, but I believe that somehow as we are devoted and we are seeking God with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, with all of our minds, with all of our strengths, that somehow He has a way of weaving into our very personalities and our hearts and our minds the wisdom that He would have us need in a certain situation. Or maybe there's a moment where God has given a message, a wisdom knowledge, a gift of wisdom or a gift of knowledge of, you know, someone else, and somehow they come along and they know exactly what's going on in your life and they give you something. And I think a lot of times we see a lot in Pentecostal churches of message in tongues, interpretations, but a lot of these other gifts rarely get highlighted because I think it's hard for people to actually pinpoint when they happen. Well, I have friends that have come along to me, and there are some sitting in this room when I was in a quandary in my life, and a phone call over 1,200 miles away somehow has a way of confirming those things that have been going on in my heart. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter about space or time. God transcends that because He knows. And He, when we know Him, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it's the Lord who determines our footsteps. That's why we need to trust in Him. And like Proverbs chapter 8, that wisdom personified in Jesus Christ. Tonight, I know that there may be people here who are in that situation right now where you are needing some wisdom. And I want to encourage you tonight as we... I want to pray a prayer tonight of releasing and receiving. And I just had in this stirring in my spirit all day, just this releasing and receiving, that there may be some things in your heart, there may be some things in your hand, so to speak, that you need to release to God. And I'm not sure what that may be. I'm not sure what it is or whatever. But then there also comes this receiving of the wisdom, because wisdom is a revelation of God and Christ in us. Give you that where morality and knowledge do not seem to fill in all the gaps, that He would speak that wisdom and that we would yearn after it. Like those young guys in the ancient Near East who would taught to seek and to long after wisdom. Much greater way, we have to seek and long after the one who's greater than Solomon and the one who gives, the giver of the wise sayings. Father, tonight, we pray, Lord, a releasing out of our hands of the things that we would like to control, of the things that we would like to keep our grasp and our firm grip on. But Lord, I pray for those things tonight that may be out of our control, that somehow would you give us the ability to release those things to your will. So Lord, tonight we release those things that are out of our control and we trust you. It may be very hard for us, but in the end, the wise man must remain teachable, and so Lord, pliable. So Lord, we want to remain open to you and willing to listen to you and listen to what the Spirit may speak to us. And Father, as we release that, I pray equally tonight that we would receive your wisdom. Where there seems to be turmoil in the midst of maybe a situation that someone in here is going through, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would receive a peace. And a peace of
wisdom as well, Lord, that would help get us through this difficult situation. Lord, I just pray for those that are in a good time right now and maybe not in a quandary where wisdom is needed. I pray, Lord, although wisdom may not need it, be needed for a particular decision right now, we cannot escape the plea from the proverb writer of seeking and longing after wisdom. It is the trunk on which everything else is connected to. Lord, I pray as we fear and reverence you, Lord, I pray you would begin the strong voice of wisdom in our hearts. We open up our hearts and lives to you. Give us a great week, Lord. We pray all of these things in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming tonight. I want to encourage you as you make your way out, if you're interested in the MySpace retreat, encourage you all to go there, married, single, whatever, you are invited to come. We'd love to have you there. Looking forward to a great time. God bless you guys. Spend some time talking with one another. We'll see you next week.